sure that it's a well-known passage and you've heard it spoken of many and many a time. But I would like to say, brethren, if there is a day when these words that we have read together ought to be coming home to our hearts, it is today. We may find a lot of activity, and indeed, perhaps speaking against myself, a lot of talking. But brother and sister, gifts about the outcome or the manifestation of the gifts about the outcome of certain things that God demands and desires before. Now, I don't know whether you accept Romans 9, 10, and 11 as a parenthesis, where the Apostle Paul seems to turn completely away from his line of thought beginning in chapter 1 right to the end of chapter 8, and then coming quite bluntly and suddenly into God's purpose in relation to the nation of Israel. Well, treat it as a parenthesis, if you like, and you can go straight from the end of chapter 8 and come immediately to the beginning of chapter 12. And you won't lose anything if you do that. And so we'll begin with our state in our sins in Romans chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, begins to unfold the grace of God manifested in Christ, the righteousness of God which is by faith, bringing in justification and no condemnation, and presenting us there before God. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Unfolding the grace of God to us, and then he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves. Yes, it will fit in just like that. But brother, sister, you can include those three chapters, and all that it does is to multiply the grace of God toward us. Because he begins with a tree, a nurtured tree, a fig tree. And he looks for the fruit in that tree, of course, which is the nation of Israel, and the stock is Abram. And there there's nothing for God in the tree, and so he breaks off the natural branches and grafts in the wild, did I say the fig tree, the olive tree, and grafts in the wild olive grafts. Which of course he brings to us that they are the Gentiles. So that when I look not just at the plan of God for me in saving my soul in those first 8 chapters, now I discover something else, that God has taken that chosen nation, the man that he brought to his feet according to Jeremiah, and built of that man 100 years old a great nation that should be his testimony. And when they failed in it, God puts them upon one side and brings me into it, and brings you into it, and brings the Gentile into it, that they might be his testimony in a world that has rejected his Son. And it enhances the mercy of God. And so we'll include all the chapters. For he's bringing us out from a world. And he's bringing us to stand in place of Israel as a testimony. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. What greater argument, brother, sister, could God have in relation to his claim upon your life and upon my life? For we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And so, I beseech you, I beg of you, I plead with you. in the light of all that I've brought before you, as to what you were and where God has put you in his grace, I plead with you, according to the compassions of God, that ye present your body. Now, we talk about gifts, brother and sister, as though that were the beginning and the end of everything. But I'm going to tell you this. You can have a gift and be as callous and as careless as anybody else. There are certain things that must come before the exercise of the gift. And it's these things that I want to bring to your notice this afternoon. Brethren and sisters, there's not one of us but what hasn't got a gift. He giveth to every man severally as he will. Now just let me say this. The non-use of gifts will bring an assembly to bankruptcy. And it's a great shame and a condemnation to the saints if a little company of God's people are dependent, completely dependent, upon the exercise of gift outside of its circle, that it might be maintained. My brother and sister, gift ought to be exercised and used in the fear of God. There's a day coming when you'll admit that you did have a gift. You'll think of that parable with the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. The one with the 5, the one with the 2, they exercise their gifts. But the one with the 1 talent forgot all about his gift. And he buried it. And carried on as though he'd never had it. But there came the time when he had to dig it up again and bring it to the one that had given it to him, and he got no reward. Brethren, at the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us are going to realize what Christ wanted us to do. Now, will you please get hold of that? I know we accept these things, they're in the book. Brother and sister, let's accept them because they're in our heart. And so he pleads God's work of grace. And therefore, I beg of you, present your bodies. Now, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of gifts in a number of places. But if you look carefully, and I trust you will after the meeting, that in Romans chapter 12, and again in the first epistle to the Corinthians chapter 12, and again in the epistle to the Ephesians, and particularly in chapter 4, you get gifts being brought out. But in the setting that God would have them in. And so you'll discover, as we've read together, that before we come to the mention of gifts, the Apostle Paul has other things to talk about to the saints at Rome. Now, brethren, sisters, the first one is the presentation of our bodies, a living sacrifice. Now notice, he says this, which is your reasonable service. And the word is your intelligent service. After all, as you read these chapters previous to chapter 12, it makes common sense that we ought to present our bodies
a living sacrifice.
Are we so ungrateful? Are we so unconcerned? Are we so willful that we can accept all that God has done in Christ at the expense of Christ
and then just go our way and forget until the judgment seat? So, my brother, before I can talk about gifts, I've got to talk about sacrifice.
The presentation of your body as a living sacrifice. Now, none of the Old Testament sacrifices were living sacrifices. They were slain, and they were put on the altar, and they were burned. But the offerer, first of all, had to take that sacrifice and present it to the priest. Now, brother and sister, before you can talk about being identified with Christ in death and burial and resurrection, before you can talk about that, you've got to come and present your body. Is it fit? Is it worthy? Is it acceptable to God? Then I'll go on God's word. For God says, acceptable to God. Body, brother and sister, to be brought before God as a living sacrifice. What can that beast do but go the way the offerer would have him go, and the ultimate, the altar upon which it is to be sacrificed? What's the goal, brother? What's the goal, sister? Is it just high up in this world? My, we used to sing the hymn, didn't we, on one occasion, a few occasions. Take the world, but I think we've forgotten the rest, haven't we? Oh yes, I know what it is. Yes. But I'm beginning to think we've forgotten the rest. But give me Jesus. Now, here is the burnt offering aspect then, brethren. You take a Moses. God would have Moses for himself. Present your bodies. And there's always the divine aspect before any other aspect. A presentation Godward. If I'm going to serve God, then I've got to present my body to God. Have you seen? When that sacrifice was brought, God says, without blemish. That was before it ever came to the gateway of the tabernacle, or before it ever came to the temple. The offerer had to search that offering to see if there was a blemish. You'll agree with me, brother, that God never says concerning the Old Testament sacrifices, without blemish and without spot. He just says, without blemish. There's only one person that is a sacrifice without blemish and without spot, and that is Christ, according to 1 Peter 1:18. And this is the reason. The blemish is the flaw that can be seen outwardly. The spot is the blemish that is internal. And so the offerer must search for what he can see, but God can see the imaginings of the heart. My brother and my sister, am I just living a life so that people can look at the outside and say, isn't he good? Or am I living a life
that is under his eye, who seeth the heart, and not as man seeth.
Now here is something real, and here is something vital, and here is something that we've been departing away from over the years, and we've just come to something that is static, something that is outward, when the reality of the matter has been forgotten and put up on one side. Don't talk about giving things up. Have a look at Moses.
Learned in all the wisdom of Egypt.
His position there in the palace. And for 40 years God took that man to the backside of the desert to look after sheep. Now there was a man that was learning to present himself. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. And he would argue against it as much as he could argue against it. But that man couldn't do a thing until he presented himself to his God. Now have a look all the way through until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he can say, here am I. Send me. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God. So here is the first thing that matters. If gift is going to be of any value and of any effect at all, the one that has the gift must present himself to his God as sacrifice accepted. Without the blemish, and by the grace of God without the spot, that we can live holy and righteously before God. The demands are great, aren't they, brethren? After all, we're not serving an 8-hour day, are we? We're not serving for a natural wage, are we? We belong to this blessed one 24 hours of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So let's realize this point then, that the non-use of gifts can bring an assembly to bankruptcy. But the wrong use of gifts can bring an assembly to confusion. You want me to verify that? All right. Have a look at the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul says, so that ye came behind in no, and it doesn't say spiritual gift, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say what you like about the Corinthians, but they never came behind in any gift. And brother and sister, they were exercising those gifts too. But my, wasn't there confusion? I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. What confusion? Is Christ divided? They wanted to use that gift that is coming up in the charismatic business today. They wanted to use it in the assembly, and the assembly was no place to use it. And they only desired to use it because they were children, they were babes, they were carnal. The Apostle Paul had to say, all right, use that in the assembly. Just speak with your unknown tongue in the assembly, and a stranger coming in will say, you're mad. All your congregation, they can understand your native tongue and you're speaking a language that they don't understand. And so there was confusion, division, because of the wrong use of gifts. My brother and sister, a gift is not given to divide an assembly. A gift is given for the benefit, the strengthening, and the upbuilding of an assembly. So then, the use of gifts is good, but the right use of gifts is better. So here, we're coming to a few things that maybe we've forgotten and need to be reminded of. That God has given gifts to all, but those gifts must be exercised as that person has yielded his or her body to the Lord that bought them with his own blood. An intelligent, a reasonable service. Do this. Now, brethren, it'll bring us to this. If we are going to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, if we're going to present our bodies a living sacrifice, there are only five ways out of a man to a world. Five ways. We call them the five senses, don't we? Cut off those five senses and you're as good as dead. You've got no contact with the world at all. None. Don't try it now, anyway. But shut your eyes, block your ears, close your mouth, and stop your smelling, and stick your hands in your pockets, and you won't know a thing that is going on in the world. You might as well be locked up in the innermost prison. My brother and sister, what are you doing with those five senses that link you through your body to a world? What are you doing with them? Are you using those senses to draw from a world that you think will satisfy your heart and satisfy your soul? This is it, isn't it? This is it? All right, you present your body. But when you present your body, you present the gateways from your soul to a world. I tell you, when you've got a body presented to God like that, then I tell you, you can become a vehicle that God can use by His Spirit in His work. So it means that I'm not just outwardly a Christian. I'm not just outwardly on the exterior serving God. But here, in the innermost parts of my being, that's where my service begins. They're great demands, aren't they? And so we are exhorted to present our bodies a living sacrifice, the burnt offering. You'll notice, brother, sister, if I can just go straight, I usually do once or twice. I've heard it said that God accepts all the burnt offering. He doesn't, does he? He never accepts the skin. That is the outward appearance. That's how the man might have judged his sacrifice. God looketh upon the heart. mother's manhood. I'm not interested so much in what people think, or trying to impress people with what I can do and the rest of it. It's what am I for God. Now, as we go on into that line of thought, you'll discover that God will not accept that beast unless the feet have been washed. Washed. In pure water. So that every contactual defilement is removed. That's the feet. Going where it ought not to go. In pathways that were forbidden, it's gone. And all the defilement has got to be removed. The inwards, that is constitutional. It doesn't belong. It never brought it in. It was born like that. But its constitution had got to be clean as well. So by contact and constitution, it could become a burnt offering acceptable to God. Brethren, the exterior then is your feet. But I mean externally, under the eye of everybody else. Where have you been going? But now, under the eye of God, we're coming to the internal. How does God see you? There's got to be the presentation of the burnt offering if we're going to serve acceptably before our God. Well, I've heard it said that the bullock is the biggest one, and the lamb of the kid is a little less one, and the bird is a little less than that. My brother and my sister, I don't intend to go into it. But as far as I'm concerned, the bird is the best of them all. God takes it all, except that that has never been assimilated. But there is my first point, brethren, sisters. If I'm going to serve, then I must first present my body, that that which is seen from without by a world and by the Christian, and that that only God can see, is in conformity to the word of God, because that is the pure water by which the feet and the inwards are washed. I must guide my life by the word. Not by a show of hands, brethren. That's what we're getting today, isn't it? The one that can shout the loudest and the more hands the better. Brother and sister, you'll always discover this. The one that is right is nearly always in the minority. I looked and there was no eye to pity. No arm to say, who was right, brother? Who was right? Was it the crowd? Or was it him? Right. I think I've pressed that point enough. But if that is all I can get home, brother and sister, and it does come home, then there's going to be more effectiveness and acceptance in our service. But now, and be not conformed to this present age. We don't conform to it, brethren. Now, sisters, I'm not talking about your clothes, and you, brethren, either. We get a reputation of just having the fashion of the generation that has passed, you know. So that we can't be blamed for living up to the times. No. Being conformed to a world. You follow the feet of a world. Do you conform? My brother and sister,
I think I've brought this out before. Any dead fish can go with the tide. It takes a living one to go against it. Hmm? Be ye not conformed to this world. And I tell you, brother, there's a lot, isn't there now? There's a lot, isn't there? But nevertheless, if I'm going to serve, and I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is my intelligent service, I will not conform to this present age. Call me old-fashioned, and let them call me old-fashioned. I don't mind. As long as I can give some pleasure to God. But these are the essentials for service, brethren. So it's not just filling up your diary, is it? It's not just saying, well, I do this, I do that, I do the other. Do it, brethren and sisters, but do it in His order. Give to God that which is rightfully His own, and your service will be acceptable. Right, let me go a step further. But be transformed, I like that word. Not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother and sister, the Lord Jesus was never conformed, but He was transformed. Hmm? That's what we want. Hmm? Not conformed to show the pattern of the world, but transformed to show the glory of that blessed one that died upon Golgotha's tree. Hmm? As not belonging here, but as belonging up there. Oh, no, no. These are old fashioned things. These things have been talked about many times. The trouble is, they've not been listened to. Last week, I discovered that I got a pile of notes, not my own this time. Although I don't know where the majority of my notes are. But there had been some difficulties in Zambia. And some doctrinal errors were coming in, and in consequence, the things that were moral as well. And a friend of mine was just involved in it all. And the missionary, he said to my friend, he said, if you're thinking about Pauline teaching, then it's out of date. That's a missionary for you. Eh? You can't rely upon Pauline teaching today. It's out of date. I tell you this, brother. Tear them all out that the Apostle Paul has given to us. We have very little left that will tell us the truth of a local assembly. We don't conform to a world. A world has done that, but the child of God doesn't do it. And he'll still abide by the truth of God's word, no matter what people may say. Brethren, don't let's have conformity. And can I say, my brother and my sister, don't let's have conformity even in the assembly. Oh, I've been to a number of places, and they say, well, this is the way that it's always been done. Hmm? My brother and my sister, I don't care whether it's been done for 50 or 60 or more years. It doesn't mean to say it's true because it's always been done. This is the touchstone. This is the touchstone. And so we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove
what is that? Good. I like that. Now here is something that is intrinsic. Here is something that is real. Here is something that has to do with the quality. It's good or it's bad. So that we may prove what is that good will of God. Intrinsically good. Perfect. Let them look at it. And they'll see the pattern of it. They'll see the purpose of it. You see, the good has to do with me. But the perfect is the attitude that I present to a world. And then acceptable. And that is Godward. So here are 3 points now. One that belongs to me. One that presents my aspect to a world. And the other, my responsibility to God. That good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So here are 2 things, brethren. There's one in relation to God, and it's a living sacrifice. And then there's another in relation to a world, and it's non-conformity. You see, brethren, it isn't just being able to look up somebody else's notes and give a sermon. There's more to it than that. God wants you before he'll have what you want to give. Now, lastly, because my time has gone, will you look at these passages for yourself? That is always God first. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Listen. According as he has chosen us in him, not to be in him, brethren. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, what? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you see the Godward aspect before he comes to chapter 4 with the gifts? There's his position, Godward. All right, have a look at the Corinthians. You see your calling, brethren. How that God has chosen the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the despised things, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Godward first. And that's our position today, or it should be, before we come to the exercise of a gift. But here is one that God has put his hand on. Here is one that isn't conforming itself to a world. Here is one that is presenting his body, a living sacrifice. I tell you, brother and sister, it becomes easier, though many a time harder, to serve God in the exercise of the gift if you fulfill those first 2 qualifications given to God as a burnt offering and transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll leave you to go on. Because you'll find the atmosphere of the gift is presented, and it's let love be without hypocrisy. Have a look at it. Have a look at the Corinthians. I show you a more excellent way, and he'll bring on love. Have a look at the Ephesians. There it is, walking in love, and so on. And that's the atmosphere of gift. It's love. Love. So let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Do you want the sphere of it? There's the sphere. There is one body. Yes, that's Romans 12. One body. That is Ephesians 4. Many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there's the sphere
of the exercise of my gift. Then I come to the responsibility. The head can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. No, that isn't the Lord Jesus there, brother. It's the local assembly that had been brought into view. And it's those who have responsibility, who know the mind of God, that is being brought out. And these with authority, and these in the position that God has set them, can't say to the lowliest of them all, I have no need of thee. So there's a personal responsibility that every one of us must take up. But I'll leave it with you. First of all, present your bodies. Secondly, be not conformed. Thirdly, let love be without hypocrisy. Fourthly, it's in relation to the church. And fifthly, I have a personal responsibility before God. May God bless his word.